Hello, and welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the tape series, Living as the Bride. And now with the word, here is Beverly.
Let me just start by telling you a little bit about us. You know, I speak a little differently to you because I come from South Africa. I was born and raised in South Africa, and we're about fourth generation South African. Now, South Africa is right at the bottom tip of Africa, you know, not to be confused with South America, South Africa. You know, that's the Africa, and South Africa is the little bottom tip. And I was born in East London, which is right on the east coast of South Africa, and John was born in Cape Town, which is right at the bottom tip of Africa, and we lived there and were raised there. My mom is from Dutch heritage and my dad is from German heritage, so I'm telling you, I'm really a mixture of Dutch and German. My husband never knew what he got when he married a Dutch-German background, you know, a strong woman. But it's wonderful. And so my mom and dad still live in South Africa. So do my two older sisters and their family. And I grew up there. John and I got married 24 years ago. We've been married for 24 years. We pastored a church just outside Johannesburg. You might have heard of that city. A big city of over a million people. I mean, just as big, just like you would have Dallas-Fort Worth area. You know, just a real big city. And then we pastored another church in Rhodesia, or it's now called Zimbabwe, which is a country just north of South Africa. And we pastored a church there for 3 years before God called us out of that country to come, just like Abram and Sarah, leave everything you've got, sell everything you've got. I'm taking you to a foreign land, to a foreign people, and you don't know where you're going, you don't know where you're going to land up. But I tell you, it was high adventure. We landed at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, knowing we had a word from God, with our two small children, with four suitcases, and felt like we were on an incredible adventure with God. And really, we have been. We've been in the States now for 14 years, and it's been 14 incredible years of growing, of learning about the goodness of God, of just growing in the Word and growing in the anointing. And He's changed us. He's absolutely changed us. There's so much I could say about that, but that just gives you a little bit of a background. We have two children, wonderful kids. If you want a picture, I've got some in my purse over there if you want to have a little look. I love my kids, and you know what? They love us too, and they like to be around us. Our kids have not been through that rebellious stage, or, you know, sometimes when kids go off to university, they just like throw over the traces and just go crazy. Our kids haven't been like that, and tomorrow, moms, you just need to be here tomorrow, because I'm going to share with you something of how we raised our kids with grace. And you all need to know that. How to raise your kids with grace. How to hear the Spirit. How to teach your kids how to hear. How to walk as the bride of Christ. But that's tomorrow's message, so you've got to come back for that. Well, I'm going to share with you this morning about the bride and walking in intimacy. And I'm really a work in progress. I don't claim to know it all. I've read lots of books about it. I've read through the Song of Solomon in every translation I could get my hands on. And I'm still a work in progress. But one thing I do know, that when I married my husband 24 and a half years ago, I changed my name. I'm telling you, I absolutely changed my name. I changed everything about me. Everything that was mine became his, and everything that was his became mine. All of his possessions became mine, except the toothpaste. He kept his own toothpaste tube, and I kept mine, because I just slosh mine on. You know how some women just slosh theirs on? My husband screws it on exactly, you know. There were some things we didn't mix. But in order to keep peace, that's what we had to do. But you know what? When I became his bride, I left my own identity behind. I took on his name. I went to live where he was living. I followed in his footsteps. And so it was with the bride of Christ. I want to tell you, let me start off by saying, who is the bride? Do you know who the bride is? I've read some books, and I want to just tell you right up front, you might have read this too, but I disagree with it. Some people say, well, we've got the whole church, but there's only one small section of the church that's going to be the bride of Christ. I want to use a favorite saying of my husband. That is baloney. I tell you, the bride of Christ is everyone who's come to know Him as its own personal Savior and Lord, and has invited Jesus to come into their lives, and has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. In fact, Ephesians teaches us that the Holy Spirit is given to us as the seal, or as the engagement ring. Now, who gives the Holy? Who would give an engagement ring to somebody who wasn't going to be a bride? You know, God is not a fool. So He has given us the Holy Spirit as the engagement ring to His bride. So if you know Jesus Christ this morning as your own personal Savior and Lord, everything that I'm going to say this week applies to you. If you don't know Him that way, I'm telling you, you can get to know Him that way. Today, you don't have to go another day without knowing Him as Lord and Savior. Last week, we were up in Tennessee doing a meeting, and John had some testimony time. And this lady came from the back of the church, and usually he likes to, you know, screen his testimonies a little bit. She just walked up to the front of the church, and she began to tell how this couple had come into her shop, and had said to her she was going to go and have a smoke break, and she was just going to go and have a cigarette in the back of the shop. And she's telling us everything, you know, to the church. And she says, so this couple said to her, would you like to be free of cigarette? And she said, well, yeah, I would. So they prayed for her, and they brought her to church that night. And she said, you know, I haven't had a smoke since. And she was excited about that. She said, now, I'm not a Christian, but, you know, I'm coming to church. So when she'd finished rambling on, John just said to her, ma'am, would you like to invite Jesus to come into your heart? She said, I really would. Prayed with her, got her filled with the Holy Ghost. She landed on the floor. I mean, her life was forever changed. It's not hard to become a Christian. It's glorious to become a Christian. It's so wonderful. It's the best thing I ever did in my life. I want to tell you, a little while ago, I was reading through the Gospels, and I read the parable that Jesus spoke about when the trader found a treasure in a field. You remember the story? He was walking through a field, and he found a treasure in the field, and he went and he buried it again, went back home, sold everything he had, came back and bought the field in order to acquire that treasure. The next parable is about a trader who goes and finds a pearl of greatest price. And he goes home and sells everything he has in order to acquire that pearl of greatest price. You know, when I read those two parables, something just welled up within me, just like a big spring. Because I have found Him. He is the pearl of greatest price. He is the treasure that goes beyond words, more precious than gold, silver, riches, name, claim, anything. It's Him. I'm His bride. He is my bridegroom. And one day at the great marriage feast of the Lamb, He's coming back for us. Well, I'm going to share with you just a few thoughts. Song of Solomon, it's just one of my most favorite songs. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, it's written by Solomon. And it's right after Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. A few meetings ago, I spoke in a meeting in Jackson, Mississippi, and the preacher's wife that had taken me there, she said, I have no idea why they put Song of Solomon in the Bible. She says, why would they put such a thing? She says, when I read it, I want to read it in the dark, you know. It's so explicit. I want to tell you something. This is the song of all songs. In fact, I want to just say this. I believe that in the last days, this song, this book of the Bible is going to be preached on more than any other, because it's getting the bride ready. Getting the bride ready. You know something? Jesus is not coming back for a preacher. He's not coming back for a lecturer or a teacher. He's not coming back for a good tither or somebody who witnesses good. He's not coming back for somebody who's just, you know, the holiest of all out there. But He's coming back for a bride. He's coming back for a bride. I'm telling you, and it's glorious. He's going to come back for a glorious bride. And what He's busy doing right now in His church is pouring out His anointing, so that He's getting His bride ready for that great marriage feast of the Lamb. Glory to His name. Okay, Song of Solomon, you found it? chapter 1 says this. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Because the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore the virgins love you. Draw me away. Let us run after you. We will run after you. The king has brought me into his chambers, and we will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine. And rightly do they love you. We'll stop right there. Today I'm just going to deal with the first three verses, if we get that far. Song of Solomon, which is the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. The whole Song of Solomon is a duet. It's like the bride singing about the bridegroom, and the bridegroom is singing about the bride, and they're just singing a duet, and they're just praising each other. I mean, the bridegroom is singing about this wonderful bridegroom who is just, you know, comely and strong and muscles, and she just describes his whole body. And then the bridegroom is singing about the bride, and she is tall, slender, and full-breasted, and her temples are like pomegranates, and we'll go into all that perhaps on Thursday. And all of that means, I mean, they're just exalting each other, they're just worshipping each other, they're just building each other up, and they're singing this glorious duet. So the whole Song of Solomon is this wonderful duet. It's a song of passion, it's a song of desire, it's a song of love, it's a song of the bride, it's a song of the bridegroom, and it's a song of intimacy. It's a song of intimacy. And you know what? We don't have to be afraid of this song. We don't have to be afraid of intimacy. I want to tell you, the bridegroom loves the bride. It's a picture. It's written in, you know, all through the Word of God. This is not only in the Song of Solomon, but all through the Word of God. God uses the picture of a husband and a wife to represent his relationship of Jesus and the bride. It's used metaphorically. We're not talking sexually. Understand that. I want to say that right up front. But he's using of our intimate relationship, the deep down intimate relationship that he wants to have with us. And you know what? Every one of us has a different relationship with him. It's basically the same, but it's different. Just like my relationship with my husband is different to the way you relate to your husband. So I'm going to share with you some of the way I relate to him. But don't get bogged down and condemned and say, well, I don't see it just like she does. Your relationship with him is so unique to you. And he loves you because he created you. And he knows the best way how to love you. And you just have to love him back and respond to his love. So verse 2 says, this is the bride talking to about the bridegroom. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. You know, when I read that, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, tell me, what are the kisses of your mouth? Do you ever sing that song, True Love? Do you know that song? And then kiss me. Well, when that preacher's wife first heard that song, True Love, she told the guy who was leading praise and worship, never sing that song again. It's way too whatever. She just didn't like it. I mean, I'm thinking, oh God, help me. Here I am about to speak on the Song of Solomon, and she's telling me all these things, you know. But I want to tell you, he wants to be so intimate with us. He's not up there behind a veil, up 10 feet high, I mean, away thousands of feet right in heaven. He's right here among us. The Holy Spirit is right. He comes and makes Jesus so real to us. And Jesus wants to come and kiss his bride. I remember one of the first times John kissed me. We were just started dating, and we were at an Easter camp. In South Africa, they have a lot of Easter camps. And because they have Good Friday's a vacation, and Monday after Sunday is always a vacation, so there's usually 4-day vacation in South Africa. And a lot of churches have camps, youth camps, over that time. And that's, in fact, when I was saved. It was 32 years ago this day. It's my birthday. Yes. 32 years ago, I was saved today on Easter Monday morning. Isn't that fantastic? It just came to me. I thought of it yesterday, but So we were at this Easter camp and we just started kind of dating. We knew God had given us a word that we were going to be, that this was right and that we were going to be married. And so we had gone out and we were supposed to be the counselors, you know, at the camp. And so we gone, walked around 11 o'clock at night to see that everybody was in their tents, you know, walking around to see all the kids who were in the place where they were supposed to be. And nobody was running around except us. And so John was now going to walk me back to my tent. And as we were walking, we were taking the long way around, you know. And we stopped under this big tree. I'll never forget it. It's like it happened yesterday. And there was a full moon. And the night was crisp. And he took me in his arms. He put his arms around me and he kissed me. And his lips were just a little bit wet, you know. And I want to tell you, it sent shivers all the way down from the top of my head to my feet. I mean, I got kissed. And I knew that I was his. It was the kiss of possession. The kiss of possession. One of the first kisses that the Lord Jesus wants to come and give his bride is the kiss of possession. 32 years ago, I made him the Lord and the Savior of my life. I didn't just say, well, I've got a ticket to heaven and now I know I'm saved, but I made him the Lord of my life. And I want to tell you, bride of Christ, he wants to be the Lord of your life. Every part of it. Not just like, well, I've got a ticket to heaven, I know my sins, I've applied the blood to my, you know, it's every part of your life. Every part. The Lord and the Savior of your life. That day he kissed me with a kiss of possession. That's where it's got to start. The second kiss he showed me, and the second kiss that I'm conscious of in my spiritual walk was the kiss of the Spirit. We've been pastoring for a number of years, and through that time, I had just watched my husband. John was a Baptist preacher, and I grew up a Baptist. And I cannot tell you how thankful I am. I will forever be thankful for my heritage as a Baptist. I learned things. I was so founded in the Word of God. I had such a solid foundation in the Word. And I had wonderful preachers who taught me the Word and taught me the foundation of the Word. But I never knew the Holy Spirit. I knew the Word. I read through the Word. I'd been to Sunday school all my life. I was in church before I was born. And you know, while I was still in my mother's belly, I was going to church three times a week, you know. I knew the Word, but I did not know the Holy Spirit. And after we left Zimbabwe, when the Lord called us to leave that country, and he was taking us on an Abrahamic journey, didn't know where we would land up, didn't know we'd land up in America, except that we were just going to go listening to his voice. We stopped for about 9 months. We stayed with my mom and dad in East London. We'd sold everything we had, given it away, had come out of the country with just a few boxes and a car that had to be at least 4 years old. And $1,200, I believe, the government allowed us to take out of the country. And we stayed with my mom and dad for 9 months. And the first month of that, John went aside in a trailer home and prayed and fasted and waited upon God. You know what? We had become so hungry. I had seen other people out there, and it's like they had something that I didn't have. I had such a solid foundation in the Word, but I did not know that life of the Spirit within me. And they would talk about that, and I'd say, that's foreign to me. I don't know what you're really talking about. And during that month, the Holy Spirit not only met John in a powerful way, but one night he came in, and I was staying with my mom and dad, and the kids were staying with mom and dad in town, and he was out in a trailer home. He came in, and he said, Beverly, I want to pray for you, and I want to release the Holy Spirit upon you. And we went for a drive around the beach, you know, just to have some privacy. And we stopped in the little car we were in. And he prayed for me. And the Spirit of God came upon me like a gusher. I'm talking like a gusher. My life was forever changed. I mean, that river of life bubbled up out of me. I spoke in a new language. Not that you have to speak in a new language, you don't have to. But I knew for the first time I took the Holy Spirit out of a box. I took the lid off the box and I said, Holy Spirit, come into my life and be everything you want to be in me, through me, in every part, every fiber of my being. I'm taking off the reins of my life. I'm taking you out of what I think you should do, shouldn't do, in order or not order. I mean, all that stuff I've been taught, the Holy Spirit is always in order. I want to tell you, His order is definitely not our order. You know that? Our order is definitely, we are so straight and religious, and He is so wonderfully, gloriously free, and so creative in His love for us. I'm telling you, I took Him out of the box that day. And I said, come and fill me and fill every part of me and change me forever. I didn't realize the incredible change that took place in my life. You know, during that time while John was away and that 9 months, I would go around and teach at different Bible study groups and churches. And I had 3 sermons. That was it. And so I couldn't go to one place more than 3 times. But, you know, it's like I would teach exactly the same sermon after I'd been kissed by the Spirit. And all of a sudden, people would be sitting there weeping. People would get saved. It was like there was a new dynamic in my life that I wasn't even conscious of. But it was a spring of life springing up within me. I'd taken the Holy Spirit out of the box and I'd yielded every part of my life. My mind, my intellect, my body, that well of life within me began to spring out of me. Things began to change. Even my mom and dad, now they're still Baptists to the back teeth, you know, they're back row Baptists, you know, precious, godly, wonderful people. They could see a difference in my life. And they were too scared to ask me if I spoke in tongues or anything, you know, because they knew, but they didn't want to know. You know how that is, you know, but you don't want to know. But it's like they even could see the change that was in my life. And all it was I yielded to the Holy Spirit. And you know what I realized? So many Baptists or, you know, Methodists or whatever are so scared of the glorious work of the Holy Spirit. He is so gentle. He is so kind. He is so full of love. It's the very thing. He is the very thing that you need in your life to give you an overcoming life. I was kissed by the Spirit and I've never ever recovered. This morning the Spirit of God kissed me again. While I'm lying in bed, I said, oh, I yield to you, Holy Spirit. You see, the word says, be filled with the Spirit. But that means to keep on being filled with the Spirit. You don't just do it 20 years ago. It's today. It's every day, yielding again to the Holy Spirit. You know, it's kind of sad that we get around so many Pentecostals or charismatics. And I've hit the Baptist, now I'm going to hit you. And all they do is look back to that day when they spoke in tongues. I mean, that's their testimony. I want to tell you, today is my testimony. Yes, that happened there, but today I was filled and kissed again by the Spirit of God. We can look back to that day when I was saved 32 years ago. But I'm telling you, it's got to be an up-to-date life. My relationship with my husband is up-to-date. I want to tell you, I love him more than I've ever loved him in my life. When I married him 24 years ago, you know, I had stars in my eyes and I just thought, oh, this is the best thing that ever, the happiest day of my life. I love him more than I can even think of breathing. You know, 24 years later, I think I didn't know the first thing about love back then. Do you know what I mean? You know, some of you people have been married at length. Now I know, after living with him for 24 years, I know all his warts, I know his corns, I know his weaknesses, I know his strengths, you know, and I love him yet. I mean, I love him more for those things, because you know what? He knows my warts and my wrinkles and my creases and my weaknesses, and he loves me too. Oh, how much more the Lord Jesus loves you. How much more he loves you. We don't have to be afraid of him. He loves you. If you've never been kissed by the Spirit, you can be kissed by the Spirit today. You can be kissed by the Spirit. The third kiss the Lord showed me was the kiss of grace. The kiss of grace. You know, when I started to learn about grace, I'd heard this, that, you know, the the main word, or that the key word in the Christian life is obedience. If you want God to bless you, then you've got to obey Him. And it's like everything else hung on that word, obedience. When I was kissed with the kiss of grace, and let me give you a scripture reference for that. Psalms 45 and verse 2 says, "You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is upon your lips." Isn't that wonderful? In fact, that whole psalm talks about the bride. It's just a glorious psalm of all about the bride and the bridegroom and all that the bridegroom gives to the bride. And it's a wonderful psalm. We won't get into that. But the kiss of grace, when He revealed grace to my spirit, and I realized I didn't have to work for it, I didn't have to strive for it, I didn't have to give enough, witness enough, pray enough, read my Bible enough, I didn't have to do all those things in order to inherit His favor. But because I knew Him and I'd invited Him into my life, I already had His favor upon me. His favor was forever upon me. No matter if I just committed the worst sin in the whole world, His favor was still upon me. See, the devil wants to tell you, well, look at you. You got mad at your wife today. You had all those wicked thoughts, those lustful thoughts. And you got mad at your kids, and you never tithed the full 10% last month. And you haven't read your Bible for a whole week. Therefore, how do you think God would really love you? You definitely aren't one of His favorite kids. Now, John or Brother Paul or Brother Lee or Leon or... You see, I got it all mixed up. Leon?
Leo.
Leo, okay. It was close. We were joking before the meeting. Close. Leo, we will get it right. Okay. Well, they are the big Christians out there. I mean, God's favor is really upon them. Or Billy Graham or Benny Hinn or Marilyn Hickey or whoever your little favorite is. They are the... I mean, God's favor is really upon them. But little me, I mean, I'm just a housewife at home. I've just got three kids and three snotty noses to wipe and little things to do at home. God's favor wouldn't be upon me. That's the biggest lie of the devil. I want to explode that lie. I can't tell you. God's favor is upon you if you'll just receive it. If you don't receive it, well, it's like it's closed. But if you'll receive it and say, boy, I'll walk in favor. God's favor is upon me. The windows of heaven are open towards me. I'm telling you, His angels have been sent to minister to me. His favor is upon me. When I was kissed with the kiss of grace, it was almost like it was too good to be true. It blew my ever-loving mind away. I could not believe that God could love me that much. I always felt like I had my three ducks in a row. And if I got all three ducks in a row, then God could love me. But the thing about it was, I never could get my three ducks in a row. I'd get one in the row and the other two would be messed up. When I realized it was all in Him, and He loved me and He was pouring His grace upon me, not because I was worth it, not because I deserved it, not because I could earn it, but just because He loved me. It was the most incredible liberating thing in my life. I was liberated, totally liberated to walk in His grace, to allow Him to put His arms around me, allow Him just to speak those wonderful love words into my heart. Not because I was looking at my belly button and trying to decide if I was worthy of it, but just because He loved me. He loved me. The kiss of grace. I want to tell you, some of you are going to have a kiss of grace this week. You are going to have the doors of your mind and your spirit blown off by the kiss of grace. The fourth kiss was the kiss of revelation. And I'm going to read just a little section, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible, because I just love the way the Amplified Bible puts it. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. "For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that He may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into the mysteries and secrets in His deep and intimate knowledge of Him." But verse 18, "by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which He has called you, and how rich is His glorious inheritance in the saints, His set apart ones." The kiss of revelation. some of you this morning or this afternoon need to say, Lord, how I need that revelation. I want to read a testimony of somebody who wrote to us, and it just really tells you what I'm speaking about. This comes from a little mail carrier up in Iowa, Fort Madison, Iowa. She was a little old lady. I mean, just a plain little, sweet, precious lady. When we went up there the first time, boy, the Sunday morning, she was one of the first ones up standing there saying, Lord, I don't have it, but boy, I want everything you have for me. All she was a hungry person. She came forward.
Last May, okay.
Yeah, so that's not even that long ago. But she came forward, and one of the first things the Lord had to do was go home and get right with her husband. And the next time we went, I mean, she yielded to the Spirit all the time. She just yielded to the Spirit. You talk about a yielding revival? That's what happened in Patty's life. And she just kept yielding to the Spirit, and God began to change her, changed her marriage relationship, changed the relationship with her kids, as she forgave her stepchild one day for trying to kill her. I mean, big time forgiveness. But she was willing to settle all that stuff. Well, one day on the floor, the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, I've called you to preach. Now, she's a mail carrier. She hasn't been to Bible school. She doesn't have a PhD behind her name. She's a little old lady who lives on a farm, dur and gone, outside the city. You know, and she's just, I mean, who would ever ask her to preach? And she said, Lord, if you're calling me to preach, you're going to open the doors. I want to tell you, it's been so exciting to get correspondence from Patty. As God has opened up not only the revelation of the Word to her, but opened up doors to go and cast out devils, to go and stomp on the neck of the devil, to go and preach the Word of God in all sorts of different churches, even on a Sunday morning. I mean, not just little ladies' groups to go share, but Sunday morning preachers have invited her to come and preach in their church because she's got the life of Christ within her. So, but she was absolutely, for the longest time, bound by a spirit of rejection. And so many of us, I have found, I'm going to say 99.9% of the body of Christ have got to a lesser or greater extent, have been bound by the spirit of rejection. We always feel unworthy in the presence of God. How can I really receive God's love? The spirit of rejection is a chain that is round about us. Well, listen to this revelation. You see, the devil puts a bad seed, but God wants to come and put a good seed to replace the bad seed. She says, thanks for obeying the Spirit and coming last year. My life has never been the same, and I'm so thankful to God for that. I thank Him every day for the deliverance from that horrible religion, rejection spirit. I can now appreciate my Heavenly Father's love and can comprehend it for the first time since I became a Christian in 61. Whoa, 61. What a privilege to begin to know Him as my Heavenly Father. He gave me a vision one day on a mail route. I was before the throne and playing like a small child. First on my stomach with my head between my hands, just letting my Father enjoy my presence. Then I played with a beach ball, a beach-sized ball like a seal would. Then I did a little ballet dance for Him, and He clapped and clapped, just as a father would for his three-year-old daughter at her first dance recital. He was so excited. He didn't clap because I did such a good job. He clapped because I was His child. Is that not profound? Whoa. Then I jumped rope, and my Heavenly Father just wanted to enjoy His daughter. And I realized that it was as if I was His only child. I have His total attention. I don't have to share Him or share His time with anyone else. What a unique revelation. Some of you need that revelation of the love of the Father for you. You're not God's stepchild. You haven't just come in by the skin of your teeth to be His bride. He has set His love upon you. He loves you. And you need to see Him as if you are His only child. And He loves you with an everlasting love. He will never remove His love from you. Some of you need to see Him with his arms wide open, saying, come up onto my lap. Let me just hold you. Let me just love you. Let me reveal my love to you. He wants to kiss you with a kiss of revelation. The fifth kiss is this, and with this I'm going to close, is the kiss of worship. In the Hebrew, now I'm not a Hebrew scholar, I've never been to Bible school, and so now there you are, just broke your little balloons right there, you know. Everything I have learned, I've learned from my husband and from the Holy Spirit. And so, but in the Hebrew, one of the words for worship is to kiss towards. To kiss towards. And that's like our response back to Him. I want to tell you, there's some days that I'm driving the car and I'll stop the stop sweep, and I'm all alone in the car. Usually I'm all alone, you know, I don't kind of do this when the car's full. And I'm driving and I'll just go, and I just blow Him a kiss. I just kiss towards Him. I just turn my face towards Him and say, oh, how I love you. And you know what He says back to me? Oh, how I love you too. The other day, in my spirit, I just have this little phrase. It's been for months now, but I walk around the house and I just repeat to myself all the time, Lord, you're so wonderful. Lord Jesus, you're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. And I was walking out of our bathroom, and that was just going round and round in my spirit, and I was just saying to Him, oh Lord, you're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. I'm so excited about you. You're so wonderful. And as clear as ever, I heard Him say back to me, do you really think so? I stopped dead. I said, oh yes, I really do. You're so wonderful, Lord. It just exploded out of me. You know what? He hears everything we say. And if we've got ears to hear, we'll talk about that tomorrow. He wants to speak back to us. I want to leave you with this thought this morning. You are His bride. He has set His love upon you. You don't have to hang your head down. You don't have to think of somebody up there, oh, they're definitely the chosen bride. If you know Jesus, you're His bride. And He's set His love upon you. And you can walk with your head held high. You can put your shoulders back. You can say, oh man, I'm the bride of Christ. And He owns it all. I mean, there have been times that I've walked through the mall and it's like this is exploding inside of me and my arms are straight in the air and I'm saying, oh Lord, I'm there. And my daughter's saying, Mother, put your arms down. And I'm saying, oh, but I'm the bride of Christ and I own it all. You know what? It's about time we as Christians get to know who we are and get to walk as who we are. And get a knowledge that is so deep and settled in our spirit that we know we're the bride of Christ. And not any devil from hell can take that truth from our hearts. We know it. It's deep. It's settled. It's forever established in our heart. And no spirit of condemnation, no spirit of lust and desire for other things can ever take us away from that one truth that is so settled within us. I'm His bride. He loves me with an everlasting love, and He will never turn away from doing His bride good. I mean, read the Song of Solomon. Read what he says about his bride. Oh, my dove, my fair one, my darling, my fairest of all. He calls her the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. You know, we've always used that word as for Jesus. In the Song of Solomon chapter 2, it's referring to the bride. He says, you are the rose of Sharon. I'm telling you, that's who I am. I'm the lily of the valley. I can bloom in the valley of the dark places. I am the bride of Christ. I can hold my head up. I can stand because you see, you know what? I am high above. I'm the head and not the tail. I am high above. And I'm not underneath. I'm above and not beneath. Because I'm His bride. And if that's for me, that's for you. Let's pray. Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name. Oh, I thank you for this wonderful truth. Father, I ask by the Holy Spirit you will take this truth and burn it upon our hearts. May it become such a settled and established conviction within us that forever the work and the lies of the devil will be broken out of our hearts. That says that you're a stepchild of God. Oh, you're not in Jesus' name. You bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. And he has put his love upon you. And he will never turn away from doing you good. Glory to his name. Oh, Spirit of God, take the seed of this word and bury it so deep within our hearts that it will forever change the way we think, the way we speak, the way we walk, the way we conduct our lives. We will always know we're his bride. Precious, precious Holy Spirit, come breathe upon your bride right now. Breathe upon your bride. Breathe upon your bride. Glory to you. You've got 30 seconds. Just open up your spirit, man. And just say to the Spirit, Spirit, I receive your word. I receive your truth. I am the bride of Christ. I have been bought with the blood of the Lamb. I have all that he wants to give me. It's mine forever. Glory to your name. Thank you, precious, precious Jesus. We love you. Blessed be your name. Amen.
This is the conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you and thank you for listening.